Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Well, hello, Calvary Church. It is such a joy and an honor to be with you today in service. My name is John Leggett. I am the pastor of Compassion Church in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I'm good friends with your pastor, Pastor Steve and Susan. They are such a blessing to me and my wife's life, and I've got to know them in the last few years in some meetings that we've been in together. And I'm saying something you probably already know, but let me say it to remind you. You are so blessed to have such a wonderful pastor in Pastor Steve and Pastor Susan. They are such a blessing, mighty man and woman of God. And I thank God they're in my life, and I know that you feel the same way, that you are so glad and so honored and so blessed that they are in your life as your pastors. I want to start out today by telling a story. When I was a teenager, I had a very good friend of mine having some problems at home. He was in our church. His family was in our church. But one day he ran away, decided that he didn't want to live at his house anymore. Still a teenager, still in high school, but got in a car with a bunch of friends and headed off to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I can still remember the mother making a phone call to my family to ask me if I knew where he was, and I had no idea. Finally, the mother and the father found out that he was at the beach, and they went down looking for him. In fact, he was so disrespectful to them when they got there and finally did find him. He had got involved in drugs. In fact, from my understanding, he had done acid and really had a dramatic effect on his life. But what I remember so much is how this father and mother would not give up. They refused. They were not leaving that beach until that son came home. And eventually, they convinced him. And eventually that son came home and back a part of the family and got back in church. I tell that story today because I want to read a passage to you today. It's out of Luke chapter 15, beginning with verse 11. It says, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went out, hired himself out to the citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out, go back to my father, and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up, went to his father's. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servant, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive. He was lost and he is found.'" Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this word that we're about to receive. And God, I pray today, Lord, at Calvary Church, that every heart and every mind to be open to receive, God, what you've got in store. And I pray that not one would leave this house the same way that they came, but be blessed by your word and your presence. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. You probably heard this story before. It's what we call the trio of the lost parables. In here, we find the lost coin, and we find now the lost son. And as you hear this story, you need to understand the culture. As Jesus is telling this parable of the lost son, he's telling to some religious folks that, in essence, the reason why Jesus is telling the story is because they're upset with Jesus. Some of those, what they would perceive not good enough people to hang around with, sinners and lost people and the wretchedness of the world. So Jesus begins to tell the story of how a son one day, there's two sons, one of the sons, the younger, comes to the father and says, "Dad, I want my inheritance." Now, you have to understand how disrespectful this really was. To ask your father for the inheritance, the only way you got your inheritance is when your father passed. So for the younger son to come to the father and say, "Dad, I want my inheritance," what he was really saying was, "Dad, you're not dying fast enough." Now that's, well, a little disrespectful. But the father doesn't argue. The father gives him his inheritance. He leaves, he goes to a foreign land, and when he gets there with his friends and those around him, he squanders all of his money on prostitutes and other wild living. And then a famine hits the land. Now, understand, that's what happens in our life when we allow sin. Eventually, sin will bring a famine in our life. Now, what happens is he finds himself having to go hire himself out to actually eat, and well, he finds himself where no Jewish Hebrew boy would ever be, and that is actually feeding pigs. See, they were unclean in the Jewish culture. Why is there? I love what the Bible says. When he came to his senses, as you're watching today, I pray as you hear this sermon that you will come to your senses, that if you have gotten away from the Father, walked away from Jesus Christ, that you would know that he loves you. And he's waiting for you. In fact, if you read the rest of the story, the Bible says that the boy makes his way back home. He says, "Hey, I don't want to be a son anymore. I'm not worthy. I'm not deserving. What I would like to be, at least be a servant. My father treated the servants very well." The Word of God tells us that the father sees the son afar off. This is important. For the father to have seen the son afar off, what that means is the father was looking. When we have walked away from God, when we've allowed sin in our life, when we have gone to a foreign place that we're not where God wants us to be, I want you to hear this truth today. Jesus Christ is always looking for you. No matter the sin in your life, no matter the mistakes you've made, he is always looking for you. What I love about the story is that the father jumps off the porch, and in fact, it probably wasn't a porch like we're thinking, but here in Oklahoma, I'm thinking this porch with the chair on the front and plants on the front, and he sees the son afar off, and he jumps off the porch, and he runs down, and he grabs his son, and he, in my mind, I don't per se say it scripturally, but in my mind, I see him picking up the son and squeeze him as hard as he could squeeze him. At that moment, the son repents, "Father, I'm not worthy to come home. I just want to be one of your servants. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against God." What happens is that moment the father says to the son, "We love you. Welcome back." He says to the servant, "Go get the fatted calf, the robe, the ring. Bring it back. We're going to celebrate tonight." In other words, at that moment he says, "We're going to have a pate. We're going to have fun tonight, for my son that was lost is now found, was dead, but is alive." I tell you this story today. You've heard the story of the prodigal son. But I want to begin to tell you a few things. I want you to write this down. Number one, it's not about the inheritance. It's about the intimacy. It's not about the inheritance. It's about the intimacy. Remember, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The young one said to the father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for distant country." Now, although he's with the father, he has not a relationship with the father. for this younger son, it had become more about the inheritance, the money, than it did about what God had in store. Distrust with the Father leads us to distancing from the Father. Distrust with the Father leads us to distancing ourselves from the Father. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? In other words, he didn't trust the Father when it came to the money. I can't leave my father with the money. That's my inheritance. I need it now. I want to be blessed now. See, when we start distrusting the Father, it will eventually have an effect on our relationship with the Father. For we as men and women of God have got to have trust in God and who He is, not just with our salvation, but with the plan for our life. We serve a sovereign God that knows our life from beginning to end. And when we don't trust Him, we're saying, God, you're not good enough to handle my life and what you've got in store for me. Here's something else you write down. Distancing yourself from the Father opens the door to sin. Distancing yourself from the Father opens sin. Listen to this. He set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. The reason why it's so important to stay close to the Father, close to Jesus Christ, is the closer we are to Him, the more we can feel conviction when things come in our life that shouldn't be there. When we have a relationship with God and we are close to Him, He can reveal things to us that He can say, hey, don't do this. It's not good for you. It will hurt your life. But the further we begin to distance ourselves from the Father, the greater opportunity that we open the door for the enemy to come in and have havoc in our life. Here's another one. Sin becomes a thief that steals. When we desire to have an inheritance over intimacy with the Father, what happens is it opens the door for the enemy, the devil, to come into our lives and begin to steal from us what God has given us. Remember, not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and squandered his wealth in wild living. After he spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. See, when we allow sin to come in our life, when we begin to separate ourselves from our Father, what begins to happen is it opens the door for the enemy, for the devil, to come in and begin to steal the blessings, the joy, the peace of what God has in store for us. The younger son, so much wanting that blessing, that inheritance, forgot that without the Father, there is no blessing. Without the Father, the inheritance doesn't mean much. Here's another one. It's not about the rules, but the relationship. It's not about the rules, but the relationship. Now, we many times talk about the younger son, but we forget the story about the older son. Listen to this, Luke 15, verse 25. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied. Your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out, pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a younger goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered his property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. See, the second son is struggling with a relationship also. The first son decided he wanted intimacy. An inheritance over the intimacy. But see, now we see this second son, he doesn't have a relationship with the Father either. In fact, what he's desiring is rules and policies over relationship. Write this down. Rules without a relationship is religion. Rules without a relationship is religion. The older brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him. Again, You see the Heavenly Father. Do you see this? Just like the younger son, he's on the porch waiting for him to come home. He's looking for him. Here with the older son, listen, he better than me. If my kids were acting that bad and acting like little brats, I don't know if I'd have gone out on the porch and tried to invite him in. I said, forget it. Stay out there, you little brat. But that's not what he did. The Father goes out, symbolizing our Heavenly Father. He goes out and says, son, please come in. I understand you're mad, you're upset. Yes, he squandered everything he had, but he was lost and now he's found. He was dead and he's alive. See, many times in our life, instead of having a relationship with God, we only know the rules of God. Instead of having a purpose through God, we just follow the policies that he's given us. See, rules without a relationship makes you resentful. Rules without a relationship make you resentful. But he answered his father, look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. Yeah, the older son didn't leave. He stayed behind. He worked every day, did everything he was told. He lived by the rules and the regulations. The problem was is he didn't have a relationship with the Father either. Why? Because the rules got in the way. And because of that, when rules and policies dictate your life and not a relationship, eventually resentment will come up and build up in your life. There's another one. Rules without a relationship makes you self-righteous. Rules without a relationship makes you self-righteous. Listen what he says. But when this son of yours has squandered your property with prostitutes. If you go back and look at the beginning, there was never a mention of prostitutes. But yet the older son brings it up. Again, he's become self-righteous because I did the rules and regulations, because I did what I was told. I'm better than my younger brother. That's what happens in our lives when we don't have a relationship with God and we only follow the rules and regulations. Hear me. You need to follow the commands of God. You need to be obedient to God's word. I'm not saying that. You've got to be obedient. You've got to follow his commands. But obedience to God's word and doing what God told you to do without a love for God will end up causing you to become self-righteous and religious. Here's the third thing I want you to write down. The Father's grace flows even when our gratitude doesn't. The Father's grace flows even when our attitude doesn't. So he got up, went to his father. But while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But listen to this. But his father said to his servants, quickly, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. In other words, the father said, it is time to party. Your son is home. We're going to celebrate. Here's the first thing I want you to understand. Even when we can't see the Father, he never stops looking for us. Even when we can't see the Father in our life, he never stops looking for us. Right now, you may not be living the life you're supposed to be living. Maybe right now, sin has fallen into your life and all you can see is that darkness. But I want you to hear me when I say this. God the Father loves you. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for you. That through his death, you would have eternal life. And through the shedding of his blood, you would have forgiveness of sins. He didn't do that because you were worthy. He didn't do that because you were deserving. He didn't do that because you were showing such great gratitude. He did it because he has grace and compassion for his children. Here's another thing. The Father isn't bound by our limitations. The Father isn't bound by our limitations. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. You have to understand, in this culture, that was unheard of. A father never acted that way. A father didn't run to the son. The son would come to the father. The father, in fact, that was considered belittling of bad character. So when Jesus is telling this story to these Pharisees and all this religious group, they are appalled. No way would a father ever do that. But see, our Heavenly Father isn't bound by our human limitations. He's greater than our limitations. Even when the son, the older son, is outside on the porch and he's mad and won't come in, and the older father goes out, that wouldn't have happened in that culture. In fact, what would have happened is the father would have come out and probably beat the younger son, or the older son. But that's not what happened. Again, our Heavenly Father isn't bound by our limitations. He is who he is. The Father's grace is what makes us worthy. Not what we do, not who we are, not the great deeds. Can I share this with you today? It's so important. God loved you before you ever did anything for him. And whether it's the younger son who decided he wanted his inheritance instead of an intimacy with the father, whether it's the older son who decided he wanted to follow rules instead of having a relationship with his father, the father never gave up. The father still loved them. And it is the Father's grace that makes us worthy. Listen, we are not righteous in our own self. We're not righteous by anything that we do. We are righteous because Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, died on a cross for us. And he gives us that righteousness as a gift when we believe in him. Here's one last thing, and I'll close with this. If you go over and look, Luke 15, verse 25, there's a character in the story that we never talk about. A character in the story that is overlooked so often, but yet actually in this story, it's really who we should all become. Not the older son, although we are. Not the younger son, which I think everyone is. We're all prodigals. But there's a person in the story that becomes a symbol for you and for me. Look at this, Luke 15. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. While he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. Listen to this. So he called one of the servants. He asked him what was going on. And I love the response of the servant. Your brother has come, he replied. Your father has killed the fatted calf. Because of him, he is back safe and sound. See, the one left out that really we should be looking at in this story to become is the servant. Remember, it was the servant who went and got the fatted calf and the robe and the ring. He didn't question the master. He didn't say, wait a minute, you want to give the fatted calf? No way, let's not give it to him. He's the one who squandered everything. He didn't say, hey, that son's not worthy to wear that ring or that robe. When the master said to the servant, go kill the fatted calf, go get the robe, and go get the ring, the servant did exactly what the master said. But then we look right here. And when the older son comes to the servant and said, what is going on? I love the reaction of the servant. He's so excited. In fact, I don't know if I'm theologically correct, but I have this image that as he begins to talk to the older brother, he's a little bit excited. He can't wait. And oh, he's just bubbling over. And he goes, your younger brother has come home and we're excited. And I'm getting the calf and we're going to celebrate it and we're going to have a party. See, remember, the servant is who we should be like. Why? See, the servant was obedient to the father, the master, no matter what he asked. But also, and this is the part I love, the servant was excited about what excited the master and the father. If we want God to bless our life, if we want God to flow in our lives, if we want to have joy and peace and excitement in our life, can I tell you, we need to become like the servant. Be obedient to God no matter what the Father asks. And here's the main thing. Whatever excites the Master or the Father, That's what excites us, and that's what we'll look to do. Lord, I just pray today for everyone that has heard this word. I pray today, Lord, that we would become like that servant, obedient to the master, excited about what makes the father happy. And Lord, for those that today are like the prodigal son, they're far off, they're not living for God, I pray today that they would be reminded that, Lord, you are waiting for them, that you love them, that you'll forgive them, and you've got grace for them. Lord, for the religious, for the rule followers that are here today that, oh, they follow the rules, but they have no relationship. I pray today in Jesus' name that, God, they would make it about a relationship instead of about the rules. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and ask. Amen and amen. Calvary Church, thank you so much. God bless.